Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joseph, I'm wondering if the people in Ukraine and your sources are speculating as much about Donald Trump's cabinet nominees as we are here in the States.
Yes, Bob. That's really one of the main topics of conversation, even amid ongoing Russian attacks and air raid alarms. We had another one of these sort of strange false starts or seeming major. There seems to be a major attack being prepared by Russia this morning. It was about 4:30 or so in the morning. We had indications that Russian bombers had taken off, not as many as it was on Monday morning. That was 24, which is an extraordinary number. It was about 8 this morning, and we were told to expect missiles to enter Ukrainian airspace by about 9 o'clock or even a little bit before, and then nothing happened. The Russians, there's something. This is a new development. They're testing or pushing something or some kind of psychological game. Amid that, though, there were Russian attacks throughout the country last night, especially on the city of Odessa. Major Russian-Iranian drone attack upon Odessa in the historic center of that city. You know, Odessa is that city in the Black Sea that it looks a little bit like New Orleans, like a little bit like Paris. It's really a beautiful city there. And the Russians used to prize it as a vacation destination. And so there was a sense that Putin wanted to preserve that city. Well, they pounded that city for several hours last night in the historic center. But even as that is you know, these daily attacks are continuing, of course, and maybe especially because of that, people are paying attention to, you know, who Trump is choosing to put in his inner circle in the fourth, you know, in the newly forming administration. And, you know, as we've mentioned this week, there have been a few good indications. I think the strongest one so far is Trump's selection of Florida Congressman Mike Waltz as a national security advisor. And, you know, that position, you know, even though it doesn't have as much formal power as many other positions, is extremely influential traditionally. It could be different under Trump the second time. But Mike Waltz has been a voice saying that Joe Biden has not been doing enough for Ukraine, that he's actually been wasting resources and not been giving Ukraine what they need to win. But then, of course, there are the, you know, for Ukrainians, the scarier members of the team, such as Tulsi Gabbard and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., both of whom have frequently gone on shows like the Joe Rogan Show, and they say things like Ukraine's not a democracy, which is not true. It's extremely democratic. They've never been here, and yet they have, you know, big opinions on Ukraine, and they're very influential voices. I think a lot of that is because, you know, when it comes to RFK, for example, his critique of the American diet resonates with a lot of people. And he probably is an expert on that. You know, he pays attention to those things. But that doesn't make one an expert in everything. And so when someone like Robert F. Kennedy talks about Ukraine, you know, I mean, he's never been here. It really has no connections to the situation on the ground. And there is, you know, I know a lot of people, especially Americans here in Kyiv, for example, who are trying, you know, doing everything they can to try to inform the people close to Trump about the reality here in Ukraine and why Ukraine can actually be good for America. You know, I've heard it put that, you know, if America, you know, has the best and biggest military in the world, well, how wouldn't that be nice to have as your chief ally, the most grateful country toward you in the world, Ukraine, which has currently the most experienced, the most battle experienced army in the free world. And you know, that was a pretty good selling point. Ukrainians are saying. And but there's frustrations not just in with Washington, but also with, and by the way, the frustrations are also with the ongoing Biden policy, which still restricts Ukraine in the way they can fight back. And the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, you know, it's election season now in Germany, or it's just starting, and he said that you know, that Germany's still going to help Ukraine, but never at the cost of our country's future prosperity. And for a lot of Europeans, this is pretty interesting, because if you look at any of the history of wars in Europe, you know, Ukraine is not that far away from Germany. And if you actually took a map of Ukraine and put it over Europe, Ukraine would reach from London, it would cover Paris, and it would reach through all of Germany into Poland. And so these things are very close to each other. And so there's a lot of, I think, anger toward the German chancellor. And the opposition there is growing stronger in Germany, saying we need to be serious we actually really have to help Ukraine. I mean, the EU is the largest importer of Russian gas still, despite all the sanctions. And if you look at as we look at the return of Donald Trump to the White House, you know, he was impeached that first time over the phone call with President Zelensky. You know, it wasn't with the leader of some other country. It was the leader of Ukraine in 2019 that was front and center in American politics. And Trump in the phone call was complaining about Angela Merkel, the Olaf Scholz's predecessor. And he said, all she does is talk. She doesn't actually do anything. And President Zelensky, who had just been newly elected here in Ukraine, he said to Trump in 2019, yes, you are absolutely right. Not only 100%, but actually 1,000%. And I can tell you the following. These are the words of Zelensky. I did talk to Angela Merkel, and I did meet with her. And I did also talk with Macron, and I told them that they are not doing quite as much as they need to be doing on the issues with sanctions. They are not enforcing the sanctions. And that was the story back in 2019. And it seems in many ways that still, especially in the case of Germany, that still is the story today, even after 2.5 years of Russia's full-scale war on Ukraine.
Yeah, people forget that. Let me end the week on an upbeat note, a text from one of our listeners. I think Joe is a fabulous, strong, wonderful, brave man. I couldn't handle 5 minutes of anything he goes through or sees or hears. He's my hero. God bless him and protect him always and all the people of Ukraine. There you go.
Well, those are a great words to hear. Thank you for that. And that helps erase some of the echoes of drones and missiles that I hear in my mind. And you know, as I hear those words, I think, you know, our friends in the cultural forces, those Ukrainian soldier musicians, the men and women traveling, a dozen of them traveling through the U.S., I've seen, following them on social media. And what one thing that they're doing on this tour, they go to the private homes of different people who've come to Ukraine to volunteer. And so you really see that, you know, these deep, you know, whatever the international alliances might be doing or not doing, among the people, you see these really strong connections, even across continents and oceans, standing against this Russian aggression.
Good to hear. I hope you can have a peaceful weekend, Joseph. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Until Monday.
Talk to you then.